Starting at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
John chapter 1, starting at verse 17 and going through to verse 30. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. This is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him and said to him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize in water, but among you stands one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.'"
Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 13. "He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross."
Father, I just want to pray for Anne, and I want to pray that you will be able to release what's in her. And as she's thought and prayed, and I just ask that your Spirit may take what's in her and release it to us. And I pray that you'll touch us too, Lord, that our ears may be open, our hearts may be open, and that we may be able to receive through the power of your Spirit. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
It's amazing. God said, "Let there be," and there was. Just the word of God and the power of his word. Let there be, and there was. And Jesus is the word of God. Let there be, and there was. I believe the Lord wants us to know the power, that there is available. In creation, when it's described in Genesis, it's God said, let there be, I don't know the order, but let there be light, let there be all the things. There was nothing, there was darkness. God said, let there be, and things came into being. And that's the power of God. And when God spoke, it was the word. If you look in Genesis, you've got the Spirit brooding, you've got the Father speaking, and the person who was speaking is Jesus. He is the Word, and we see that later on in Scripture, that He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God the Father, God the Son, and as I said, God the Holy Spirit was there. We've got the Trinity in creation. Next slide, please. And the next one. Thank you. Jesus was the perfect image of the invisible God. If you saw Jesus, you knew what God was like. He was the perfect image. And He is beyond comparison. And what He did was beyond comparison. It says in Colossians 1, He is above all powers, all thrones, all authorities, and He will come to have the first place in everything. I don't know if I'm going to mix up the order in which I'm going to speak, but you'll just have to live with that. I was thinking of how the name of Jesus is used as a swear word or an angry word. People say Christ, God. It's used so often, and it's an abuse of His name, total abuse. And He is above all powers, all thrones, all authorities. He's the one who, well, He is it. He's above, He's over. And the thing that was coming to me when I was preparing was, we often pray in the name of Jesus, don't we? Or we end it. We're asking this in the name of Jesus. And the thought I had was that we have to have a bigger impression of the name of Jesus. Amen. Much, much bigger. Jesus the name, high over all, on earth and sky and sea, I think it says. Angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and flee. How many enemy powers do we need to get rid of? How many enemy powers need commanding with the name of Jesus? And if we have the name of Jesus firmly in us, with the appreciation, see, I'm talking to myself, the appreciation of what it means, who He is, angels bow down to Him. He's the King of Kings. He's a King. He's a King of Kings. And He is the top person, and He's forever, and He lives, and He loves us, and He's interested in all of us, in all our lives. He's interested in the whole world, every person in the world. There's nobody He forgets. And he is utterly on our side. And all power has been given to the name of Jesus. Let's just drink that in. I am saying it to myself. Let's drink it in. His name, when we call on his name, it's a powerful thing to do. And anything can happen. Good things can come into being that aren't yet the things we're longing for. Good things can come in. We've had a couple of marvellous things happen for us. I'm not going to cry. Our son returned to our family after decades of being away. And recently, he's been separated from his two sons in marriage problems. And he sent us a photograph of himself with his youngest son. And he said, first time I've seen him in 2 years. And it was good. How about that? We've been praying. I'm not saying it's we did it. But we've been praying. We've been crying out to God. I want to encourage you with the impossibilities that you see, that look like impossibilities, look that cannot break through. Believe that Jesus is big enough. Amen. And call on his name and keep calling on his name. Don't stop calling for his help because he is on our side. Not sure where I am. Yeah, Jesus Christ is the perfect image of the invisible God. And he's beyond comparison. And I said it, he's above all powers, etc. Next slide. I've almost said this. We used to have a church leader who couldn't bear it if people just talked about Jesus. He absolutely hated it. And he said, what's wrong with the Lord Jesus? Or even the Lord Jesus Christ? He thought it was demeaning just using Jesus. And I'm not commenting on that, but it's interesting that he wanted a bigger name that expressed more about Jesus. The next slide, please. Yep. David. Slip of the tongue. David typed this out for me. And when he got this slide, he said, do you mean this? How we look and how we pray. Well, I did, but it could have been better put. I said one of them already. How do we pray? Do we fight in prayer? Do we battle? Now, you've got to have weapons if you're going to battle. You can't battle with nothing in your hand. But knowing the power of Jesus, just the elevation of Jesus, he is far, far above. And he's far more able than we can imagine. And I want to encourage you, encourage myself, encourage Bethany with your family. He is able. He's willing. There's nothing he doesn't care about. He is willing, he's able. How we look. We're meant to look like Jesus. Did you know that? People ought to recognize Jesus when they see us. We're meant to look like him. We're meant to look like him so that when they see us, they get a true picture of what God is like. Jesus is the perfect image of God, and we should be looking like Jesus. And I was thinking of, what does Jesus look like? Well, he's loving. He's patient. He's truthful. He will tell you the truth. If you ask him questions, he will give you answers, and they will be true. They will be truthful. He's not soft. Well, he is. But you know what I mean. Often we don't say the truth because it feels too difficult to say. Jesus will never deceive us. He will always speak the truth. Jesus is thankful. I'm writing down all the definitions of love. He's not jealous. There's no jealousy there. He's not unkind. He's willing to talk to anybody. Challenge for us. Is there anybody we would rather not talk to? And if we could avoid it, we would. That's something to think about. Ask the Lord about it. If you've got someone that you're not willing to talk to. Jesus will talk to anybody. He will talk to a woman who's been taken in adultery and been dragged to him. And he will treat her with the utmost respect. He will talk to children. He talked to children when children were ignored, generally, at that time. So he would spend time with children talking to them. Jesus was totally obedient to his Father in heaven. He always did what the Father told him to do. Or what he could see the Father doing, he joined in with that. How we pray. Forgive my slowness. Jesus prayed a lot. And when you read the Gospels, you often at the end of the day, when everyone goes home and Jesus climbs a hill or a mountain, and he goes to pray with his Father, to talk to his Father. He will be talking and listening. And until recently, I had always thought that his talking with his Father was to get instruction. I was wrong, but I thought he would be getting advice or getting direction or whatever, and I'm sure he did get that. But then I suddenly realized there would be a love relationship. I'm slow. There would be a love relationship, and the Father would be saying to him, I love you, Jesus. I appreciate you. Jesus will be talking back to the Father and telling him what the Father means to him. I wrote down something. I love you is one. Well done. How about the well done's? Well done. I understand how you felt. I was thinking of when Jesus was hated, when he was mocked. The Father would see that and he'd be able to talk to Jesus and say, I know exactly how you felt. Well done for how you dealt with it. It would be a slow time sitting together. Don't know how God sits. But it would be a slow time. Space to be. And actually, in the presence of God, you get things. Things come into you when you're in the presence of God. Val talked about this experience of the lady, forgotten her name. I have been personally spending, not recently, but not too far back, I've been spending time with the Lord much more than I've ever done. And I see it like sitting down with God. So and I sit in the same place, generally. And I experience his presence. And I don't talk too much, but from time to time, it's just being with him, and I can feel his presence. And in these, I have to say that I'm extremely blessed. I am extremely blessed. I don't have to go out to work. For everyone here who has to go out to work and they don't have a lot of spare time, I'm sorry for what I've just said. The Lord understands how much time we have. But I'm just trying to talk about something that's happened. Is that I get instructions from God that don't make sense. Like an urge to do this. I don't think it's God to begin with. But then the urge comes again, and I say, can't be. And then the urge comes again, and then I think, oh, do it. Just do it. And it's happened for me quite a few times that I've arrived at a situation that desperately needed me there. You think, oh, you know. And thinking about Jesus and his timings, his timing of meeting the woman at the well. How could that happen like that? That he just arrives, she's there, and the most brilliant conversation, which led to the town, says everyone flocked to Jesus. So the absolute salvation of a town. Now how did Jesus work it out? Well, he didn't. He did what he thought he should do. But the Lord was his Father, God his Father, was moving him as well. Hands up if you're fed up with my slowness.
It,
Could we have the next slide, please? I was thinking of Jesus inviting people, and he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." And I guess that still holds good. He says, come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, come, and the thing is, we have to respond and come to him. And the coming can be just, in a way, just opening. Just opening up. Here I am, Lord. I've come. If you need to come to Jesus, do it. Do it. And there's so many times where we do need to come to Jesus. Called by Jesus, he called his first disciples and he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He was inviting them to leave everything and follow him and be with him. And I don't quite know why I wrote this down, but I'll say it. Have you been rescued from the realm of darkness? The realm of darkness is where Jesus isn't. And as you could say, that's the state before you start to follow Jesus. I just want to encourage, if you haven't come to Jesus and opened yourself to his invitation, I want to encourage you to do that if you're here. He calls us to lay down our lives. That's part of the deal to follow Jesus, is to lay down our lives in all sorts of different ways. And probably most of us are laying down our lives in some way. But he calls us to lay down our lives. It's part of following him. Last thing, he wants us to hear his "well done, good and faithful servant." He was the supreme servant, and we can be in his family and we can be like him, and he will bring new life to us when we need it. He will fill us with his spirit. It's one of the things we do desperately need. I've got to say that. In the prayer time, Jesus would have been refilled with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus was a man full of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your marvelous rescue. Thank you that you sent your wonderful Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you lived your life obedient to your Father every day, day by day by day. Thank you that you were able to save us. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. And Father, we do want to be filled with his love, filled with his life, and to be in his presence, in your presence, Lord. Help each one of us, Father. Help us to encourage one another daily. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.